It's time for Fed Talk, the live show for Feds in the know. From federal agencies to Capitol Hill, the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth bring in experts from across the federal community to bring you inside the issues. Fed Talk is meant to provide general information about legal issues. However, the views expressed in this program are not intended to provide legal counseling. Listeners are cautioned not to rely upon any statements made in resolving legal issues they may face, but instead to consult with their own attorney about specific situations. Attorneys are not engaged in providing legal services while appearing on the program and are not responsible in any manner for the consequences that may stem directly or indirectly from reliance on any statement made during this program.
Good morning and welcome to Fed Talk. I'm Jenny Mattingly, and I've got three guests with me in the studio today. Tim McManus from the Partnership for Public Service, Stuart Heiser from the National Association of Schools of Public Affairs and Administration, and Catherine Troutman from the Resume Place. And they're here with me to discuss some of the latest on Pathways programs and the recent hiring trends that we're seeing. Just a quick reminder that Fed Talk is brought to you by GEICO, where 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance. For more information on GEICO, go to geico.com. And if you would like to join our discussion today and speak directly to our guests, please call us toll-free at 1-877-936-9333 or email us at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. Welcome, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be here.
Thanks for joining us. And I'll start, since I've got three of you with me today, by letting you introduce yourself. Catherine, do you want to go ahead and give us a little background?
Sure. Thank you. Catherine Troutman, I'm the president of the Resume Place, and that's resume-place.com. And we specialize in helping people write great federal resumes, whether it's for a Pathways application or for any federal USA Jobs announcement that a person might find. We work with job seekers and veterans, students, and I also teach career counselors about how to advise their students and their clients with federal job search. And I'm author of a book that I'll talk about a little bit today, the StudentsFederalCareerGuide.com, Students Federal Career Guide, second edition. I co-authored with Paul Binkley, who is a former career director at George Washington University. So that's why I'm here. My emphasis today will be on the federal resume for Pathways.
Which is very important.
That's right.
So great. Thank you for joining us. And Stuart.
Great. Good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm Stuart Heiser with NASPA, the Global Standard in Public Service Education. We are an international association of schools of public policy, public affairs, and public administration. We have about 280 member schools across the United States and around the globe. We are also the accreditor of Masters of Public Administration and Masters of Public Policy degrees. Our schools concentrate on graduate education, but many offer also bachelor's degrees in those fields.
Okay, great. And thank you for joining
us. Sure, thank you for having me.
Great. Tim.
Jenny, thanks again for having me. I'm Tim McManus. I'm the Vice President for Education and Outreach at the Partnership for Public Service. And in that role, I lead the partnership's efforts to ensure that government has the right talent in place. And that really focuses on two different things. One, working with colleges and universities across the country through the network of 770 colleges and universities, Call to Serve Network. And then also working directly with federal agencies to improve the way that they recruit and hire.
Okay, great. And I know one thing, I know you all have met before, a common interest in getting folks into the government and the right people. And one of the biggest ways right now for students is, and recent graduates, is the Pathways program. So here today to talk a little bit about that. And I don't know how familiar our listeners are with Pathways. I know some of them probably are very familiar with it. But talk to me a little bit about what is Pathways, where did it come from, three programs. Tim, you want to kick us off on
sure,
that?
Sure. Well, I'll attempt to start off. The Pathways programs were really initiated with an executive order almost 2 years ago now that really focused on how do we bring young talent into government. And there was really a recognition by the administration that the current hiring process, at least at that time, focused heavily or emphasized much too heavily on demonstration of experience, and that by doing so, you actually eliminated an entire class of potential applicants, those being both students and those who had recently graduated. So looking at a way to ensure that The federal government, like every other sector, actually is able to bring in the best talent, including best entry-level talent. And if you look at it, I think some of the driver of this as well was if you look at the percent of millennials as the total percent of the workforce, it's about 26%. If you look at what the percent of millennials are in the federal government, it's less than 8%. So clearly there's a need to bring more millennials in, bring more experience, more inexperienced but very talented people into government, grow them into positions, and actually build the future workforce for the federal government.
And in some ways, it seems like it was almost looking at how the private sector does it a little bit, because you do look at internships, you do look at how do you bring recent graduates in a different way than you would an intern. So doing that, that makes a little bit more sense, I guess, to people.
And, so. and not only making more sense, but also making it easier for the applicant as well. So making it kind of normalizing it with the private sector for government, but then also making sure that students actually understood. So before, if you had programs, and I'll let Stuart and Catherine jump in here, but before, if you had programs that were essentially internships, but weren't called internships, students weren't looking for them. They didn't know what they meant, because when they're looking for a summer employment opportunity, they're actually looking for internships. So even if the conversation or the terminology that's used is different, that's going to be a barrier to those who really are looking to get into government and should get into government.
And what are the three pathways right now? Why don't you tell our listeners about that, Stuart?
Sure. Well, there are three components, as you said. One is a new government-wide internship program. As Tim mentioned, it used to be each agency could call their internship program both during the school year and during the summer a number of things, which made it difficult to find. Now, every program is called a Pathways Internship Program. And that is good for students at high school all the way through graduate school, through PhD. And then there's a component just for recent graduates, which is for anybody who's completed post-secondary education, associate's degrees, bachelor's, master's, PhD, and students who have graduated within the last 2 years are eligible for that. Those are both new, and they are government-wide. And then the third component is an existing program, the PMF, the Presidential Management Fellows Program, which has been around for about 30 years. And what the Pathways Executive Order did was strengthen the program and expand its eligibility. It used to be that only if you were still in school about to graduate, you could apply. And now you can apply up to 2 years out of school. That also helps to take into account veterans who previously, because of their service, weren't able to apply. In fact, there's a special provision in recent graduates that allows military on active duty to apply up to 6 years rather than just two after they graduate.
Okay, so really broadening the net a little
Absolutely.
Bit of who can go in. And Catherine, are you seeing that more folks are starting to show interest in Pathways as they're looking at this? Or
well, we're getting there. That's why this program is good that we're doing this, because Pathways is wonderful that the internship program actually has a name now. So that word Pathways can get out there, and this radio show can go out to the universities, and they can start talking about it more. And students will know how to search for these jobs. They'll know a name that they can search on. For instance, I just went to USA Jobs on my computer right here, and I typed in Pathways on the top screen of USA Jobs, and about 150 jobs came up with one word. Now, that's worldwide. It's not geographic, and it's, you know, there's nothing special about agency search. But at least now we've got a name. And then pretty soon they can start reading these job announcements and learning about them, and the universities will learn about them. So this is just beginning, really. 2 years for government is equal to, you know, a couple weeks. So we're just beginning the process. The first announcement was by Department of Interior, and it came out July 12 of just this past year. That's not even a whole year ago. And NASA today has like 20 announcements. They're the winners of the parade at the moment. But it's coming. It's just coming. That's why it's so good to talk about it.
Well, and it seems like it is really starting, even though the executive order was almost 2 years ago. There's been a ramp up time. Any new program, you're going to have ramp up time. And it seems like we're just now starting to get there. Are you seeing that it's really starting to pick up with agencies? Tim, I know, and Stuart, you've probably seen a difference among agencies that are using it, how much they know about it.
Well, one of the reasons that we've just started to see these positions is after the executive order came out, the Office of Personnel Management, OPM, spent a lot of time drafting regulations to implement these programs and listened to a lot of stakeholders to make sure that they got the regulations right. There had been some previous programs that were targeted for students that had been challenged and or weren't effective. So they really wanted to make sure they got it right. They issued regulations then last in August, and then had a 60-day period of public comment, and then issued final regulations where they really wanted to make sure that these were ironclad regulations. They created very robust, strong programs, and those went into effect last July.
And then agencies also had to figure out what they were going to do with these
programs. I think to some extent, and Jenny, you and I have talked about this before, Stuart, you and I probably have as well. To some extent, the regulations are and the rules behind it is actually the easy part. And I think Stuart clearly said that OPM, the administration, really did their due diligence to make sure that they were right. And so I don't mean that they didn't work hard and everything else, but the real hard part with any regulation or any policy is not necessarily the policy itself; it's actually the implementation of the policy. And I think that's actually at the point where we are right now, which is the regulations are finalized. They've been finalized really since last May, and then there was an implementation period. Implementation takes a long time. Change within agencies takes a long time. These are new programs. It's a new way to look at things. So I think that's really kind of where we are. So am I pleased with the number of pathways positions that are on USA Jobs right now or that are being promoted? We're getting there. Change doesn't happen overnight, and I think that's really important. Regardless of where you are, particularly if you're listening and you're from an agency, I don't care if you're an HR or you're a hiring manager, you need to go back and think about what's the talent not only that I need today, but what do I need long term, and how might pathways? Pathways aren't going to be the answer to everything, but how might pathways be actually the right solution to my needs? And again, I think that's where we still are within government, which is the HR community is largely aware of what pathways are supposed to do. I think it's still, with the other 1.9 million federal employees, it's still working its way through the ether in terms of how we use this, what it really means to me today and what it means later. So again, I think we're making some good progress. I think there's still a lot of progress to be done. And that really is everybody stepping up to the plate and saying, how do we use this to make our agency better?
And that's a good point, and I want to stop there for a minute and take our first break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about how agencies need to use the program and maybe changing some of the perceptions and doing some training with that when we come back. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around a mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is GEICO anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that GEICO isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how GEICO actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, GEICO saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like GEICO. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is, GEICO.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact GEICO today to request your special federal savings.
Welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jenny Mattingly, and today I'm here with Catherine Troutman from The Resume Place, Tim McManus from the Partnership for Public Service, and Stuart Heiser from NASPA. If you have a question or comment, please give us a call toll-free at 1-877-936-9333 or email us at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. And when we left, we were starting to talk about implementing pathways and how that's working with agencies. And I think one of the things that we've all talked about is what is the benefit of pathways? Why should agencies be using this program? Because there clearly are some benefits based off of some of the older programs that agencies had. This really puts a framework in place. And Stuart, I know you've talked a little bit about benefits.
Sure. Well, there are a lot of benefits to a number of constituencies for agencies, for students, and for the student schools. First, because they are government-wide, rather than each agency, there's a more of a standard application process. They are all positions have to be listed in USA Jobs, have to be identified as one of the pathways programs. They can also be listed on the individual agency sites. The positions at all education levels, as I mentioned before, high school all the way up through doctoral, law school, medical school. these aren't just hiring authorities. These aren't just ways of getting people into the government just to fill jobs. They are specifically educational and developmental. Each of the programs has a strong developmental component. The internship program must be tied to the student's academic or career goals. There are requirements for training and mentoring in both recent graduates and the PMF, Presidential Management Fellowship Program. PMF has always had a developmental program. Now training has been strengthened and expanded. All the positions are paid, although agencies can still have unpaid volunteer positions. They're only for students and recent graduates. There was a problem previously of agencies using what should have been positions targeted for students to hire lots of people, not just students. These are only for students and recent graduates, which means students competing against students, recent graduates competing against recent graduates. It makes it easier for students and recent graduates to enter federal service. And I think finally, they're not just in D.C. These positions are all over the U.S. I did a search this morning of the positions that Catherine mentioned. There are about 150 labeled. And even of the first 10 that came up, only one was in D.C. They were all over the place. Portland, Boise, Ann Arbor, Lincoln, Nebraska, Cleveland, Provo, Utah, and Grenada, Mississippi. I mean, these are not just within the Beltway positions.
Well, which opens it up to a whole variety of folks in there. And I like that there's a developmental focus because I think that's important to students and to resume seekers. And Catherine, are you seeing some of that in the announcements? I know that you've been looking at the announcements and, from the first one on, are you seeing what you're looking for there in terms of telling what Pathways is offering?
Well, one thing that I do like and the students are very concerned about is that they're in school full time or maybe almost full time. And how can they be applying for a job in the government? So they're wondering about how they can manage the time element. But the announcements are right, all kinds of flexibilities with hours per week, and they'll be flexible with courses and the times that the student can work, or it's summers, or they're flexible, which is amazing to see.
And you mentioned to me that the very first announcement you saw had some of hopefully what you were looking for in there.
Well, when I was looking for the first announcement because I was just so anxious to see how to apply instructions, because that was not in any of those publications that everybody was reading and studying, because they didn't tell the agencies how to recruit and how to request resumes. So it was totally unknown. So the first one, Department of Interior, was a resume and a letter of interest. That was the very first one. Now, believe me, not all the agencies are asking for that now, because I'm still reading the how to apply, because I'm kind of fascinated with how to apply for jobs. And so that one was, and I just wish I could have gotten some of those letters. I wrote a blog about that and gave some tips on how to write that letter and how to show your interest in the agency and the mission and the skills that you might bring to that agency to help you to stand out in that letter. Because I know that their HR recruiters for Pathways were looking at those letters to help one student stand out from one from another, not necessarily to score the application, because I actually don't know how they score them. I just know the application has to be very good and competitive, and a student has to stand out. So what I found out was that it was resume and cover letter, and that the resume did not go in USA Jobs Builder. It was emailed to this person at Interior, this HR person who specialized in this announcement. And then, of course, their transcripts they had to copy and send along, proving that they were a full-time student. So that was the very first one. But since then, other announcements, I'm just fascinated with how to apply. What is required to apply for these pathways? And you have to read it every single time because it's different every single time.
Right. There's no standardization.
No,
there's
not.
There is in the jobs,
right.
Not in how you get to the jobs.
That's
so
right.
Now, one of the things we've talked a little bit about are some of these older programs. Has there been, I guess, a need for training or some cultural changes in terms of how agencies see these, not just as authorities, but as developmental things? And is that piece in place? Tim, have you seen that?
So again, I think there is some progress being made. We'll actually see really, I think, fully this summer, particularly as it relates to internships, because the vast majority of federal interns actually are summer interns. So we'll actually see this summer how some of that cultural stuff changes. So by and large now, again, if you're an intern, prior to the Pathways programs, a lot of agencies, quite frankly, their internship programs were kind of friends and family. You knew the neighbor who actually worked at the agency, and therefore you were going to intern there. That's not the way this is going to work anymore. You actually have to apply, so you're going to be assessed on the front end. And then because you're an intern, you're actually going to every intern that's a paid intern actually has the is eligible but not entitled to be converted to full-time employment. So again, as a hiring manager, not necessarily as the HR person, as the hiring manager, how are you going to determine whether or not Stuart and Catherine, who are both interns at my agency and they're both eligible to be converted, how are you now going to determine? Because the authority in the past, one of them may have come in with an authority that allowed them to be converted, the other one not. Now they can both be converted. I may only have one position to convert them in. How am I going to make that determination? Those are things, I think, that haven't fully been thought about yet. In terms of how we're making some of those decisions, even once somebody's into an internship, they're both doing a great job. I only have one position. Do I have them compete again? And the great thing is about the internship, because everybody is actually eligible to be converted, we ought to be viewing the internships as a primary pipeline for entry-level talent. That's the way the private sector would look at it. Government ought to be looking at it the same way. We're not there yet, but I think this summer, as we start getting interns into the pipeline, we're going to be forced to get there.
Well, in our agencies, are some agencies leading the way and starting to think about this, or have there been trainings out there to kind of give agencies the ideas of what they need to start looking at?
So I think clearly there have been some trainings. I think OPM's doing a good job in trying to get the word out. I think, you know, certainly the partnership is as well. I think one of the downfalls of both our trainings and OPM's trainings as well, though, is they've largely focused on the HR community. And frankly, that's not where all the focus has to lie. And again, the example that I just gave now really has nothing to do with HR. It has everything to do with the hiring managers. Hiring managers, those that are actually making the decision of what talent I need in the room at any given point in time, what talent I need to convert, they're the ones that actually really, you are the ones that really have to understand how I can use the pathways, what they're designed to do, and how this actually allows me to get the work of the agency done. I think that's where everybody's probably fallen a little bit short at this point, is hiring managers just don't fully understand what all of these are designed to do right now.
And do the schools understand that as well? You know, because I think it does have to come from both sides, is that the folks who are sending people into the government also have to understand what the programs are designed to do and who they should be kind of pushing towards these programs. And are you seeing that at all, Stuart? Or?
Yeah, we are. There's always been, even before the current tight job market, a huge demand to go into federal service. For many of our schools, especially in the D.C. region, up to half, possibly even over half of their graduates go into federal government. For these programs to be successful, picking up on what Tim said, I mean, they have the potential to be very successful, but a lot of things need to be in place. Strong training of HR and hiring managers need to, they and schools and students all need to realize that these are really prestigious programs. These are not just easy to get positions. There's a lot of competition to get them. These are going to be very selective. Agencies have very rigorous selection processes in place. In fact, as an example, the State Department 2 weeks ago advertised a recent graduate program, capped the number of applications at 150, and they met that within a matter of hours. Even some of their own current interns weren't able to apply in time. So there's a huge demand. I mean, these positions, as I said, are going to be very competitive. So as Catherine said, it's going to be very important for students to really have a tight resume, complete the cover letter, and follow the directions exactly as the instructions say. Our schools are telling us that they are sending their best students. Right now, there aren't as many postings as we anticipate, or that there were under old programs. So there's still a huge demand. And we really are working with and urging agencies to sign the MOUs, the memorandums with OPM, to really put these programs in place and to make sure that they are robust and strong and rigorous.
Well, and part of the issue is that agencies have to figure out what positions they need. I mean, I don't know if agencies have fully identified, here's where we have a need, this would actually fit an internship program.
Yeah, and I think that's where some of the cultural and mental change that has to happen. I mean, it's natural not only for federal managers, but managers in general. When somebody walks out the door, what do? We actually pull out that same job description of that person. We dust it off and we say, that's the person we want. So Stuart leaves we're looking for Stuart's replacement, as Stuart is now. That's our natural tendency. It becomes even more of our tendency when we actually have hiring constraints put on us as well, where if two people now walk out the door, I'm only able to hire one. Our immediate thought is, well, that one person has to be able to come in and hit the ground running on day one and be fully functional in this job. That's where we have to dial back a little bit and say, that may work on day one, day two, and day three. But we actually have to take a little bit of the longer view and say, okay, so if two people leave, I'm only able to hire one. What's the talent that I not only need now, but I need long term? Is actually a recent grad the right talent for me? Or is a presidential management fellow the right talent for me that I can actually develop over time, and I'm going to have them here for a long period of time, and the course of our work is changing, and therefore the way that they work is going to have to change. The recent grad or the PMF, they may actually be the perfect thing rather than somebody who comes in, hits the ground running on day one with all of the knowledge, skills, and information that the previous person left. Again, that's our natural tendency right now, and this lends itself really well to it.
So I'm wondering, Tim, is the partnership or is OPM offering pipeline thinking to managers in government yet?
So
the
we
mentality
actually
of developing young people into former future GS-12s.
Yeah. So again, I think that's part of the, what Stuart had said, which is really cool about these programs is again, federal agencies don't look at this as a hiring authority, or hiring authorities look at them as developmental programs. So what is in doing that, Catherine? I think it's a great question, which is not only what do you need today, what do you need 3 and 5 years from now? That's actually what you ought to be looking at with these programs and the people that you're bringing in. So the example that I use pretty frequently is if you need an engineer who's actually going to be managing projects, engineering projects, and maybe it's engineering projects that our contractors are doing, you might, right now, the tendency is hire the person who's a great engineer. And what this, again, using the Pathways programs, hire that great engineer. But then their developmental program, as part of their recent grad program, how do you build up their project management skills? So a year from now, they're not only a great engineer, but they're a great project manager as well. So we're doing a little bit of work there. OPM's doing a little bit of work. I think this is actually one of those areas where still more needs to be done to get people to really understand when it's right. And again, I said earlier, not every position is going to be right for an intern, a recent grad, or a PMF. So where do you focus those efforts? And maybe, again, NASA, if you look at some of theirs, I think they've done a great job out of the blocks of really focusing. A lot of their recent grad programs have focused on areas that they're having a hard time filling otherwise. So a lot of the STEM-focused occupations, that's where they're using their things.
So I just got a great idea. Job seekers, students, and career counselors out there listening to Tim and wondering about how the managers are not really thinking about pipeline right now, because they're not quite there yet. When you apply for a Pathways position, if you have the opportunity to write a cover letter or a letter of interest with it, be sure to add into your resume or your cover letter what your objectives are for the future of your work with that agency and how you can offer expertise in project management as proven by your team projects for the last few years in your curriculum. And if you had a great senior project, write about it and say you're the team leader and the project leader and the test engineer, and talk about what you want to do in 5 years for that agency and where you would like to be. So help the manager see the future with you, and that will help them to bring better people along the line, and maybe you will be selected for the interview. So thanks, Tim. Good.
That's great advice, too. I think that's a good way to look at it.
I think we can look at the Pathways programs as not just developmental for the students and recent graduates, but developmental for the agencies as well. The students need to, you know, they need to think about what will this candidate, the incumbent, look like in 5 years? What will our agency look like in 5 years? What are our needs? And to realize that these are, you know, as we said, you know, developmental programs, but also talent management, that it's really incumbent upon agencies to do the hard work to plan their needs. And we know that it's going to take time. These programs have the potential of being world-class hiring programs. A lot of other countries are able to attract their top students out of their top schools into federal service. These have the potential to help fill that for the U.S. as well.
Absolutely.
I think that the students who are looking at the Pathways applications and even maybe career counselors have not realized, Stuart, that these internships are not just internships. Your angle here and talking about the career development aspect of it hasn't really been featured well enough. Mm-hmm. when I read a blog about it, I'm going to make that a bigger deal because it's more than just an internship. It's more than $21 an hour, $17 an hour. It's a career path, career development, and there's an agreement written between the student and the hiring mm-hmm. person, and there will be mentoring, and there will be training, and that is what has not been done before with internships in government, and that will make the difference, and that I don't think it's presented very well in the announcements at all, that this is a career development program with opportunity for you for career advancement. That angle is not hit very well in the announcements, but we're talking about it here. So that's really good, and that will help students and to realize, oh, this is more than just an internship, because most of the time when a kid goes for an internship, it's to make some money and get some experience. End of story. They're out of there in 3 months. They really are, and that you should see their resumes. They have 2, 3, 4, 5 internships that don't add up to much at the end of 4 years, whereas this internship can be an internship that leads to an entire career. So that's a really big deal.
And it's a big different way of thinking about things, too. We're going to take a quick break here for our mid-show break, and we'll keep discussing pathways when we come back. And after a word from our sponsor, you're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
GEICO's famous for saving people money on car insurance. And now, if you're a federal employee, you could be saving even more. In fact, you may already qualify for a special federal discount from GEICO. If you're a federal employee, or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, FLIOA, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you could be saving hundreds of dollars. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings. GEICO got its start back in 1936, specifically to serve federal employees. Today, we're still making it easy for federal employees to save money on car insurance. If you're a federal employee, you may qualify for a special federal employee discount. Or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you may also qualify. See how much you could be saving. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings.
I'm Deborah Roth, host of Fed Talk and partner at the law firm of Shaw, Bransford & Roth. Our firm specializes in helping federal employees with legal issues concerning their jobs or benefits. For 2 decades, we have been representing federal employees in adverse action cases, employment discrimination complaints, inspector general and internal affairs investigations, security clearance issues, and other federal employment disputes. If you have a legal concern, don't wait. Call Shaw, Bransford & Roth at 202-463-8400 or visit our website at shawbransford.com.
Welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jenny Mattingly, and I'm joined by Stuart Heiser from NASPA, Tim McManus from the Partnership, and Catherine Troutman from the Resume Place. If you'd like to be part of the discussion today, please give us a call at 1-877-936-9333 or email us at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. When we stopped, we were talking about the developmental opportunities, but one of the problems that's been out there are, I guess, one of the things that we're still working through are the number of jobs that are out there. And a lot of them are NASA. I think, Catherine, you mentioned you saw a whole bunch of NASA jobs, which may lead into the whole STEM side of it. But what if you're looking for a communications internship or you're more of a public policy person? Are those jobs out there? And is part of the problem, at least in my opinion, some of the budget cuts, because folks don't know in the agencies whether they're going to be able to hire people yet, or whether those positions are going to be there. And I think that might be leading into a whole bunch of the, some of the slowness in starting up.
So I think that, I think that's one of the contributors. And again, we were just saying during the break, I think one of the things that often even some of us don't realize is that, you know, in the private sector, we can, whether or not we have a budget or not, if we know you're leaving, Jenny, we can start to anticipate. If we know that you're thinking about, there's much more that we can do. We can actually bring somebody in while you're still here. There's nothing that prohibits us from doing that in the private or nonprofit sector. In government, I actually can't do that. I actually have to, now I might be able to start trying to figure out how I'm going to fill that, but I can't bring anybody else in until you're actually gone. So if you decide to delay a little bit, then I think that's a bigger part of the issue. But when you don't know exactly what your budget's going to be, when you're actually have the dark cloud above you of sequestration or even government shutdown, It's really hard to say, here's how many folks we're going to try to bring in if, in fact, we have to, again, sequestration, 10% cut across government by every agency. Where is that going to come from? You know, some agencies are saying we're just not going to hire anybody else, including interns. So I think that's part of what's going on. Again, I think that the key here is we have to both look both short term but longer term at what our hiring needs are going to be in the future. And again, how we're going to use this. The other thing that I'd like to comment on, though, too, because I think Stuart made a really good point earlier about the pathways in general, which is I think job seekers, students, recent grads have to see these in the light that they are as well, which is these are going to be really, really competitive positions. It may be, again, to the point that if agencies are using these strategically, it might be that there aren't ever a whole lot of communications jobs that are out there through the Pathways programs. And if not, both job seekers and government maybe shouldn't see that necessarily as a bad thing because they're filling their talent needs through other means if they're thinking strategically about this. And that's the key. Are agencies going to be, are they now, and are they going to be thinking strategically about how they use this to fill those vital positions?
Right. And that's, I guess, part of it is also letting students know that this is, you know, these are elite positions. And how is that being done? Stuart, are you guys seeing that the word is getting out there? And what are you doing? And I know your organizations and some of the organizations that we all work with have been working with OPM to really try to address this communications gap.
Sure. Well, the answer is short answer is yes and no. Because our schools tend to focus on, or actually do focus on, public affairs, public policy, they are much more aware of what's going on in federal agency hiring, very clued into what OPM is doing. So within our member schools, there's a very high awareness. We're not finding that same level across the universities at large, centralized career offices. And because of that, we are working with OPM to try to create publicity and outreach to be able to get the word out. I mean, a lot of the programs, for example, the PMF that has been up and running for years, it's been affected by budget cuts and hiring freezes. There are fewer postings this year than there have been in the past. But still, there were 12,000 applications this year for what will eventually be no more than 400 postings. They're right in the middle now of selecting, or they have the semifinalists selected. So the semifinalists are currently doing in-person interviews. So, I mean, a very, very small percent of applicants end up getting fellowship positions.
But that's always positions. Been the case, that's correct? Been the because case. It is seen as an elite.
Right, exactly. The difference is now, it used to be, well, if there were 400 positions, what did you do with the 401st? Who was clearly good enough to make through this entire rigorous selection process, but then there was nothing for them. They often got turned away, waiting for a position. They went into the private sector, and we lost the top talent. Recent graduates has the opportunity to capture those students to make sure, okay, well, you may not have gotten PMF, but you're clearly the top, you know, top candidate, top talent. And this is something that agencies, we think, really need to work on, is what do you do to capture these other people? Can you have a recent graduate's position that is really at a high level? And we know that obviously during, you know, in this time of uncertainty and hiring freezes, that you may not be able to hire now. Well, now is the time that you plan to hire. Now is the time you create your talent development plan so that, and you prioritize what are your highest needs, as Tim was talking about before.
But is there a database of that? You know, if I'm a USDA and I decide mm-hmm. I need to fill this top position, can I go and say, hey, there's that 401st person mm-hmm. that was screened for the PMF?
No. And the reason no is because they've actually been screened for the PMF. So there's clear regulations in place and that's actually something that not only applies to the recent grad and the PMF and even the internship program, but if you look at government more large, the competitive hiring system, if I actually apply for an engineering position at a GS-15 or a CFO position at the Department of Energy, and I don't get that, but I'm a really, really good candidate, the Department of Defense can't hire me, even though I made the cert there. They actually have to open something up again. So there's actually a broader system break there that actually needs to be addressed. But the answer as it relates to pathways is no, they can't simply take the 401st person because they actually haven't applied for that specific position and they haven't competed for that specific position. And again, that's the key to the pathways programs as well. So there are naysayers out there that are saying, well, the pathways programs go against the competitive hiring system. They don't. They're at the internship level, interns, as Stuart said earlier, at the internship level, students are competing with students for certain positions. At the recent grad level, recent grads are competing with other recent grads, including vets, for a specific position. And the same is true at the PMF program. So really, it does have all the competitive hiring aspects in place.
I'd like to just say one more thing about the hiring freeze and the fear of the freeze and the jobs that people think are not going to exist. This is my advice that I give to my job seekers and my classes and wherever I go. Right now, there are less jobs posted at this moment. And I think that March, April, when the continuing resolution is hopefully gone and lifted, I hope more jobs will be posted. You can count the number today. You can count the number April 15. I predict it will be higher. I think that the jobs will come back. There may not be as many because the government is not going to hire as many people in 2013 as it did in 2012 and 2011. And we know that. But still, the jobs will be here. You should be writing your federal resume, applying for jobs, and just don't worry about it. Just keep going.
And we're going to stop there and take our final break of the show. And when we come back, we'll continue talking about pathways and maybe a few tips for getting folks into the government, because it sounds like some of the burden does need to be on the students looking at these jobs as well. So we're going to stop here and hear a word from our sponsor. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around a mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is GEICO anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that GEICO isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how GEICO actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, GEICO saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like GEICO. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. GEICO.
To get a free rate quote, go to GEICO.com. Then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact GEICO today to request your special federal savings.
Welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're entering the last segment of the show. If you have a question or comment for our guest, please give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-877-936-9333, or email us at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. And when we left, and just at the break right now, we were talking a little bit about that it is the new norm, that there are going to be fewer jobs, and most likely in the government, and that agencies are going to have to look strategically at how they do this. But students and recent grads are going to have to look strategically as well. They're going to have to know where they should hire and where some of these jobs are. And one of the things we've talked a little bit about are the announcements out there. And I'm wondering how easy it is right now for students to be strategic about, do they know what the jobs are? Are the announcements easy for them to figure out what they're applying to and what they're looking at?
Well, you have to look at each announcement. Like if I were a student, I'd sit down and read five different agency announcements and just compare them as to how many details they include in terms of the duties of the job. And some of the announcements you'll find are have two sentences and say nothing because they're very general. And then I'm looking at one right now for Homeland Security, Citizens and Immigration in Vermont. And they've got 15 lines of wonderful details about what the job involves. Okay, so now, since I have the duties there, I can target my resume and I can say, I can do all of this. So that helps if the announcement gives more details of the position that they're recruiting for, but you don't know exactly what. So if the announcement is really plain and generic, you would have to go to the agency mission and look at their customers and their programs and work on the resume from that point of view. So each announcement is a little different. And the self-assessment questionnaire that exists for the competitive process where you have to rate your skill level, that's gone for Pathways. So that's good because they're not having to say what their skill level is. It's all based on education and the experience in their college work.
And is there something that schools are doing to kind of help, I guess, get through this process and make it a little easier? Or is that still ongoing as students, as career centers, as schools figure out how to make this work?
Well, I think it's ongoing. Some of what they can do is what they've done forever, which is teach students how to write an effective resume and how to write an effective cover letter. While KSAs are gone, there definitely is, as Catherine mentioned, a number of things that students would have to highlight in their resume so that it matches the announcement. They can be ready with a set of different resumes that are targeted for different types of positions. What schools can do is be on the lookout for these positions. As I mentioned, there are some that close very, very quickly. There are limited number of how many applications, or the application window is only a matter of days. Schools are increasingly using social media to, I've seen a lot of schools tweet, hey, there's an opening at HUD, apply now. So to be able to contact students really quickly. One thing to remember is that there is a long eligibility window for recent graduates and now PMF, that it's up to 2 years after you graduate. It may be, I hope get Catherine's right, in terms of there being many more positions that will come out in April once, hopefully the situation, the dust is clear, the situation is more certain. Students could take a job elsewhere, gain more experience, and be able to reapply within 2 years. They'll actually be stronger candidates because of that. And in fact, because of the problem with the students who graduated in 2011, 2012, didn't have either the old programs in place yet nor the new ones, there's this grandfathering that any student who graduated as far back as December 2010 keeps their eligibility through 2014. So they will still be eligible when hopefully there will be many more positions that are listed.
And part of it is getting the word out. I know OPM's done some outreach, and part of the burden's on students or schools to know what's going on. But part of this is outreach from the government side as well. And I think Partnership has done some stuff to try to fill that. And you all have a network that you work with to do that. And I know NASPA is also doing that. And in conjunction, we've all been working on some of this outreach. Can you talk a little bit about some of the efforts that are going on?
Sure. Well, we've suggested that OPM do a number of things to be able to publicize it. First, reach out directly to schools to help them understand how to read these announcements. As Catherine mentioned, right now you go in USA Jobs, you can search for using the word pathways, or there's a button that says students and recent graduates that will automatically filter positions. But each of these is written completely differently, and you really have to parse it out. We've suggested to OPM that they work with agencies to standardize the listing as much as possible so that it's easier to identify, is this a summer internship, is it during the year, is it recent graduates versus internship? So that's one thing OPM could do, is to standardize the positions, work directly with schools, advertise them at a number of levels. Another thing that we've suggested they do is release more data. And we know that the director of OPM, John Berry, is committed to the White House's Open Government Initiative to be more transparent about data. If we can see what are the hiring trends, schools can better advise their students on what kinds of positions the agencies are actually hiring for. It may be you have a lot of students interested in communications. There may not have been any hires in the past few years. So that's another thing they can do.
Okay.
The other really quick thing that I think we have to recognize as well is that OPM actually isn't making the hires. Agencies are. So agencies really have to step up to the plate. And the best way for them to do that, whether it's pathways or anything else, is to actually get on campuses. And they have to develop those relationships with campuses. Pathways doesn't preclude anybody. Again, here's a misnomer. Pathways doesn't preclude an agency from doing targeted outreach. They still have to do public notice, but they can actually target specific campuses as well. So again, if you want to educate students, if you want to educate those who are actually influencing students, get on those campuses to make that happen.
Right. And I think OPM is starting to work on some campus-based outreach and initiatives, and I think that'll make a difference.
But again, the key in my estimation is not simply OPM, because they're at the end of the day not making the hire. It's actually the agency. So the agency, more than anybody else, is going to know how they're going to view it at their agency. And every agency can implement this a little bit differently. So OPM can give the broad brushstroke, but OPM can't specifically talk about how we NASA, how we DOI are going to use this.
And that's a good point, is that I think sometimes agencies looked at some of the older programs and said, we had a lot of flexibility under that. But they do have a lot of flexibility how they, how they advertise these, how they outreach,
absolutely,
what sort of folks they do. And so that's not lost in that part of, the pathways program. And And I think data collection is another good point, is agencies need to collect data. And I don't know that there's a standardized what they're collecting, who they're giving it to. And that's another part of the coin. And now, Catherine, the other side of it is, how do you get into there? If I'm a student and I've decided I want to apply for this program, what are some good tips for those students?
Well, just as an example, I taught a class at Virginia Commonwealth University last year and had about 100 students in the class, and they brought their resumes with them sitting there. And I asked them how many of them in their courses work on projects in addition to their coursework, and everybody raised their hand. Oh, yeah, we're very project-based here in teams. And I said, well, take a look at your resume now and see how you've written about those projects in your resume. How did you list them and describe them in your resume? And they looked at me and said, well, the projects, they're not in the resume. I said, really? So that's what you need to do, is you need to write about the projects that you were a member of the team or the leader of the team, but the title of your project and your role in the project and what you were working on and how you produced it and the results of the project. Add the projects to your resume, because if you were to get a job, an internship in the government, you'd be working on projects. You'd be a member of a team. You'd be doing research. You'd be doing statistics, writing a narrative, giving a presentation, all the things that you do when you are in your coursework, presenting projects. So that's a big, big tip that I give to every student that I meet. And in my book, The Student's Federal Career Guide, my favorite study and favorite sample is of a young mechanical engineer, business bachelor's degree student who had not had work experience. And we featured four of his really, really good engineering projects, and with details like 12 lines each in the resume. The resume was 2 pages long, or maybe even 2.5 pages long, not just the one pager private industry resume that career centers demand that you must have it on one page. The federal resume can be 2 or even 3 pages, and put in your projects and your courses and your papers and your grades and your activities. And if you are in the choir, debate, or sports, make sure you add it, because that shows teamwork and discipline and multitasking and ability to communicate and work with others and interpersonal skills. Those are the competencies that they're looking for leaders in government. And if you don't have that information in your one and your resume, and the HR person and the supervisor only see the skinny little one pager, they're not going to see you as above someone else. So that's what I recommend. The mechanical engineering student that I have in my book, he actually had 3 offers from 3 Army Corps of Engineering districts from that resume, with no work experience at all, only college. And my class at BCU was shocked and stunned that their resumes were so light. And all of them had a 1-year senior project. It was just like a job that they did 8 hours a week. And they were all going to go and add it into their resume and help them to stand out above their competition. So that's my big tip. Samples are in my book. Also, my book has samples for veterans who've gone back to school on the GI Bill. Half of my samples are for non-vets and half are for veterans who combine their military experience and their courses to begin their new career when they finish with the GI Bill and get back out in the world. So the bottom line is, more for students is better than less.
Well, and there are so many people, you know, you said it makes you stand out from the other folks. There are a lot of other folks applying for jobs. So you really do have to take the initiative to stand out.
Write more. Yep. Right.
And where can people go to find out more about your book and about the tips?
The title of the book is Students Federal Career Guide by Troutman and Paul Binkley. It is available on my website, resume-place.com, and also Amazon. It is a Kindle, and it's beautiful Kindle. We worked very hard to get the samples nicely designed on the little tiny screens and very easy to read. And all the benefits of federal employment are on the first 6 pages. To keep you reading as to why you want to do this.
That's great. I know. You want people in.
And that's right.
Yeah. Well, we've got about 20 seconds left here. So any last tips for schools? One big takeaway on pathways that schools need to think about here.
Well, just as Catherine was saying, that schools are increasingly implementing into their curriculum more real-world experience, capstone projects, internships, group projects that will really help students be able to compete.
Perfect. Great. Thank you. That's all the time we have. Thank you for joining us. Fed Talk is brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Have a good weekend.